Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening, and we thank you that we can gather in this way. And Father, I just pray right now, Lord, that by your Holy Ghost, that you administer to every single one of our hearts, and especially to mine, Lord. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to you. We pray, Lord, that you would have your way with us, that your kingdom will come in our lives, Lord. And Father, that the seed may fall on good ground. Lord, that, Father, that nothing would come and take it away. Nothing, Lord. No ravens, no hard ground. But Lord, that our hearts may be soft and pliable in your hands. So we commit ourselves to you, Yeshua. We commit ourselves to you, our Messiah, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so the one topic that I wanted to just start off with tonight was just God's order in creation. And so everything about the creation order that is evident in Genesis is the truth. And it is God who establishes the basis and the standards that make truth. And for us to be living according to this truth, we live in the order that God has established for his creation. And God's sovereign control will always be in harmony with his purpose and his divine order. And to resist or to depart from his order, God calls that sin. And so James 4:17, and I like the way James, or if you want to go to the original, Jacob, that he doesn't mince his words. And I like that. And it says in 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so, you know, if we fail to do the right things, that is God's will, as in the good, as we just read in the verse above, they are commonly called sins of omission. In other words, leaving out. And it's not only what people do that matters. The good that they fail to do is equally important to God. So you can do good, but if you do not do it, God is equally involved with understanding what is going on in our lives. And so one example in the scripture regarding the behavior and the work of Satan, we find that he opposes anything that speaks of God's order or truth. And he is the father of all lies, and he thrives on chaos and confusion. And disorder is the making of the devil. He opposes all that speaks of God and his purpose in creation. And so those who will be valiant for God, and they should avoid any form of disorder or chaos governed by Satan. So the valiant man will be dedicated to God's order. And it is important to note that, as Paul comments in 1 Corinthians 11:14, where he says, does not even nature itself teach you? So all creation in the universe, including the plant and the animal kingdom, fauna and flora, conform to the order established by God. And however, we see that the times that we live in now, how that man has turned the order of God upside down, and man prefers, in this world, prefers to dwell in disorder. And they even drive an alternative agenda that rebels against God. And in their selfish will and doing what seems to be right in their own eyes. So the valiant will depart, they'll depart from the world's order and cling, in other words, depend on God's order, no matter what the cost. And the constant prayer of the valiant should be, like the Lord Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. So men recognize that there is more to life than just being born. You know, you just think about it, you know, what happens in the world. You live and then you die. So wise men evaluate the amazing design and the order in creation and acknowledge the God of creation in their lives. And with this realization, the wise then search to discover the purpose and the order that is that the Creator intended for himself. And so the most elementary research of the scripture makes it very clear that God has demonstrated a great love for his creation. God's word makes it abundantly clear that mankind is the apple of his eye. And in the beginning, when God created man, God said, "Let us make man in our image." And in today's world, those who are not saved are under the influence of the one who is trying to create an alternative image. And they are removed from the knowledge of God and not even interested in his precepts. And so it's going to take a courageous and a valiant, those that are called according to God's purpose, especially men, to surrender to God's will and allow him to fashion us in his image for his good pleasure and his purpose. And it takes faith, it takes courage and commitment for a man to turn away from the sensual chaos of our time to surrender in devotion to the original order that God established. And he established it in and through his word. So with the imminent return of the Lord and Jesus will be returning very soon since we first believed. And because of this sin and the state and the chaos that's in the world, it abounds even more and more and more so. So the chaos is mounting to a point of insanity. And you know what I mean when we think about what's happening in the world. God needs stable and secure, valiant men of faith who will dare to make a stand to declare his will, his order, and sound the alarm in this world. So let us keep in mind that our objective is to address the call to be valiant for God. God is sovereign, he's eternal, and he is perfect. Whereas the lifetime of man might be short, in this world there's limited, and because we were in a corrupted body, as it were, with its sinful nature, as it were, you know, we need to understand, though, that God's way is higher than that of ourselves. And his ways sometimes seem to be out of reach and cannot be comprehended with the natural mind. Unless God's ways are revealed by the Holy Ghost, we will never understand his ways. So man's only hope of eternal salvation has been provided by God in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ecclesiate, of which we all part of, and it is the body of Christ that ministries are raised up in. And the fivefold ministries are in operation to restore mankind back to God's order. So the church of today is an ark, as in Noah's time, to be saved from eternal judgment and condemnation. Man needs to be in God's ark. And it's in the church where Christ is preached and taught that man can develop and enjoy a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and be encouraged to press on to the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. To be encouraged, to be admonished, to be exhorted, until we all come unto that perfect man, unto the measure and stature of the fullness in Christ. So essential to the valiant man is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, where he will enjoy the evidence of a vibrant life, the very passion of Jesus should be evident in our lives, and it's given by the Holy Ghost. So as this new life manifests, it operates through us for the purpose of the body of Christ. And we are not called to be part of a social club or even a social accepted religious organization. Rather, the valiant men are added to the body of Christ by the Holy Ghost. And it should be where the Word of God is preached in spirit and in truth, so that the body of believers dedicated to passionately make place for the evidence of the life of Jesus in their midst. And we are called to minister that into people's lives. And so 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, "But now God had set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him." So we don't get involved with trying to work it out. We need to just allow the ministries to be raised up and let Christ have his way in his body, so that men and women may be edified. And unfortunately, Levinas, the scripture predicts this, that in the last days, there are many religious and many doctrines. So the valiant man ensures, as the Berean church, that what he believes is according to the Word of God, full of the Holy Ghost, and not just being full of the Holy Ghost, but having the revelation that comes from the throne room of God, discerning the spirits between good and evil, being mature and unwavering. And that's where we get to that scripture, 1 John 4:1. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." So we are called not to believe every spirit. Our faith is not built on by spiritual gullibility. We are called to test the spirits. And the unseen spiritual influence that guards people's speech and actions can be tested by observing their doctrine and conduct, as well as the Holy Ghost giving gift to us, and that gift of discernment. False prophets are those who claim to speak on behalf of God, but are actually speaking by demonic influence. 1 John 4:3-4. If you go and read the scriptures a little bit further on there, because I just read the first verse. It is very evident that in today's age of tolerance, it is the spirit of accommodation and open-mindedness that is taking control in believers' lives. And discriminating between discernment can be viewed as being judgmental. So in other words, when you start saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it," because that's what the Word of God says, we are sometimes being called to be those that judge. And that's not a bad thing, because I'd rather be a fool for the Lord than a fool to this world. We are called to judge in the body of Christ. And there are those who are valiant that will stand up and be accounted with the Lord. They are mature, and therefore they can judge. And John 7:24 says, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." So men of faith recognize truth and honor God in that they recognize truth. God sees that. And this recognition, and honor are displayed by their surrender to the declared order that God established in creation, and it is declared in Scripture. But this man of faith also knows that all this order that God wants is in the interest of God's prime and ultimate creation, and that is you and I, mankind. And what we need to understand is that when we get this understanding, we get to grips with this, men of faith are careful to apply themselves in all the order that God put in place in any relationship that might develop between a man and a woman, prior to marriage and also in marriage. So from the beginning, God said that a man must take his place as the head while the woman will be his help. God created men to be leaders. There never has been and should never be any confusion concerning the identity and roles of both male and female. God set these out when he created man and woman in his image. And Ephesians 5:21 to 33 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. And what that means is that the man's responsibility is to make sure that she is cared for, and that she's treasured, and that she is saved, and that she can also find her place in serving the Lord. That's what that savior means. Therefore, as a church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband, now this is the beautiful thing, he deals with husbands first. Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. That doesn't happen enough, you know. Yes, the body of Christ should be sanctified. We are called as valiant men to make sure that the word washes believers and cleanses the believers. But also as husbands, be the man of God. Use the word of God in your home to wash and cleanse, that there may be a sanctification. And in verse 27, he says that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. There's this relationship between the body of Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ, between husband and wife, is such a precious thing that there is a requirement that when God comes, when Jesus comes to fetch his bride, men are responsible for making sure that they're washed, that the body is ready. The body of Christ is ready to be received, a glorious church unto himself, because he gives gifts to us for that purpose. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now the thing is that there are too many men that have lost that order and they don't love themselves anymore. They need to first find their identity in Christ and then exercise that love towards their wives. So in 29, for no man have ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now I think that would bring more revelation to, I think it's in Mark chapter 3, I think it is, towards the end. Let me just get that scripture up there. I just want to use my heart Bible because I think this is very relevant to what we're talking about right now. This is the Holy Ghost is leading. Yes, 3, towards the end of 3. And I read about this just recently on Tuesday night. It says, and he answered them saying, who is my mother and my brethren? You remember, this is when the Lord Jesus Christ was ministering inside that house. And there were a lot of people around, including Sadducees. And they said, look, your mother and your brother are outside. And he said, who is my mother and my brother? And he looked around him and he said about them and he said, behold, my mother. In other words, pointing to all those around him, you are my mother and my brethren. And then it says in verse 35, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. It's interesting that he doesn't mention father. So we need to do, this is doing the will of God when you minister to the body of Christ. And when you find your place and the ascended Christ gift in you and you develop that and you start ministering the word of God, that's when you're doing the will of God, being conformed into the image of Christ. And so we leave our earthly fathers and we cling to our heavenly Father so that we can love our wives, but also love and cherish the Lord's mothers, sisters, and brothers. Then in verse 30 it says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and his bones. For this cause shall man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. See, courageous men take their direction from God's word to arise as leaders in God's ordained order. Sin's influence upon men confuses God's intended order. And because of the law of sin that works in men's members, those who are not surrendered to Jesus and to God's order will tend to surrender to the weakness of the flesh, to be taken captive by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And like an ox to the slaughter, they are led away out of God's order. And in the church of Jesus, men must be accountable and resist being manipulated by cunning devices, spirits and voices who attempt to disrupt God's order. And valiant men make a stand to do it God's way, and there is no compromise. We need to have one another ministering to one another, that iron sharpens iron, that there may be no compromise. And having said that, women have a major role to play as well. They have a measure of leadership in their responsibilities, and it's easier for my wife to take my direction and leadership when I am fully submitted to the authority of Christ. Remember, God's order, peace, is to be found when God's order is in place. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, for God is not a God for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Now, I want to carry on because I said I'm going to have a lot to share, but I'm just going to take a quick break to have some water. Praise the Lord. Let's continue. So I mentioned that scripture, does not nature teach you? So in the time, our world is made up of masses in humanity who will always be followers of the crowd. And few are there really that are willing to dare to be different and stand accountable. The crowd seemed to demonstrate that the popular way, regardless of whether it be right or wrong, the valiant man of God stops and reckons and considers what God's way is, you know. And they then have the courage and boldness to dare to be different, to do what is right, regardless of the cost. So valiant men are committed to please God by surrendering to his will. And to be valiant, therefore, does not mean to just be different, but to have the courage to make a stand and always honor God, despite the opinion that's in this world. And this courage requires that the valiant man becomes familiar with the word of God for his direction. You know, God has demonstrated both in his word and in all nature, not only his power, but also the order of his ways. To be displayed, you know, the order that God actually wants is indeed the blueprint of his person and his identity. And ultimately, what we're called to be is those, if we want to be after God's order, we have to fit in it. We have to find our place in it. So the sober thinker and the one who believes understands that the Bible is the revelation of the Holy Ghost and is ever declaring the love and the will of the Father towards us. However, then God asks man, does not even nature teach you? And this is a gigantic sign that is out there for the whole world to see, pointing to an amazing and an order of how it is made by a creator. And does not all nature beckon to humanity to respond to, believe, and accept the creator, as we read in 1 Corinthians 11:14. So consider for a moment the evidence of the natural drive and order in the relationship between a man and a woman. Although the history of a man, or of mankind at least, in other words, man and woman, is a natural place and a function for each gender has been evident as we see the God's creation, with God's order in place in this relationship, God's blessing and purpose has been fulfilled, in fact. However, history clearly records our sin has brought about confusion into this order and relationship. Love has been replaced with lust, and lust disregards feelings, especially of another, and seeking only self gratification. That's what lust does. And we can't blame the devil. This is a sin issue of the condition of the heart, the condition of where the soul finds themselves, and the mind that has been degraded. And how far has mankind moved from God's holy order to accept that gender no longer determines the conditions related to a marriage union? Further, no longer does marriage feature as a condition related to the physical union between man and woman. And just because it seems that the whole world has chosen a new set of morals certainly does not make it right. Neither does the apparent success of the pleasure derived by the way things seem to be the norm confirm it to be acceptable. So the valiant will only depend upon the declared order in God's word as their standard in their life. So let the order in creation teach mankind that only through conforming to God's order can man anticipate the harmonious and the eternal fulfillment and the eternal purpose of the Almighty God in all creation, who longs to be the Savior of our souls. Amen. You know, in 1 Corinthians 11:3, it says, "But I would have you know that the head of any man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So here we get an order already established. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 7 says, "For the man indeed not to cover his head, for as much as the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man." So here we start getting a little bit of order of what God deems about being order. And these are very controversial scriptures, but they have to be taught. We have to go through them. We have to understand what God is saying. And so it says then in 11:14, "Does not nature teach you?" And then it says, "If a man have long hair, it is shame unto him." Now the whole thing has to be taken into what God is trying to say to this. You see, the thing is that there is glory that is bestowed upon a woman. But that glory can only be kept when there is a man involved. And I need to explain this. Because what we need to understand is that God sees, when he looks down, he sees the responsibility for the relationship between a man and a woman on the man. And he has to keep that covering over her. And how does he keep that? Well, by honoring God in everything that he does, whether it's work, whether it's raising children, whether it's running the household, as it were, and being involved with that, not just sitting back and doing nothing. And when we talk about God creating a helpmeet, which we'll go on to next week, for himself, it's not somebody who doesn't cleans the doormat all the time so that you can walk in the house. You understand, it's a bigger thing than that. This is about eternal issues. And so what it is that when you look at a woman, her glory is in her appearance, and usually it's the hair, because it looks, that's their glory, and that is wonderful for them to have. And so a man needs to have himself taken care of, that he can protect her glory. And it's not just because of her hair. It's because of what God sees in our lives, that we may be sanctified in the very image of his creation. And so verse 16, it says, "But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no custom, neither the churches of God." And basically what that means is that we don't argue the word of God. We believe it and we act upon it. I think that's enough for tonight. I know it's a heavy subject, but we'll carry on next week by God's grace, and we'll look at God's order set by his word. Praise the Lord. I'm just asking Sandy if she would close in prayer for us tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. And we thank you for your word. And we thank you for your word. And we thank you for your word by the Holy Ghost, Lord, that will penetrate into the very soil of our hearts, Lord, and that it shall not return void.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time that we could have together this evening in your word, Lord, and just to hear your word expounded. Father God, your precepts are life to us. Your precepts are life-giving. Your word, your Yeshua HaMashiach, is life-giving. Jesus, thank you that you shine your marvelous light before us whenever we ask you to step into our circumstance, whenever we draw close to you, whenever we delve into your word. You illuminate things for us. You supernaturally show us the way, sometimes in a way that we cannot even verbally give expression to. And so tonight we thank you again, Lord Jesus, you who are seated at the right hand of the Father, you who are currently the intercessor of every single person in this gathering. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, our Messiah, our intercessor, our elder brother, that you illuminate our path through your word. And so we pray that what has been taught to us tonight, Lord, would find very, very deep roots into the soil of our hearts and would not be shaken, Lord. Father God, let these seeds that are planted grow to be tall oaks, and let us be transformed, Lord. Let us step up to the calling, the higher calling that you give us as men of God, valiant men of God, as women of God, valiant woman of God. Let us receive spiritual eyes to see, Lord, in this era where there is so much disinformation perpetuated from the kingdom of darkness, where there is so much confusion around about us. We pray that you give us clarity of vision, that we would see through the mist and the mire and see your eternal purposes and your perfect plan and your perfect precept. And so we thank you for the ministering of the word in our midst. We pray, Lord Holy Spirit, that you will be the after preacher, that even as we go to bed tonight, that there would be a conformity of our hearts and our minds to the pattern of Christ that will take place individually in our marriages, in our relationships, in our families, in our villages, in our communities, and in our churches, Lord. Let your will be done in our lives. Let your will be done in our relationships. Let your will be done in our marriages. Let your will be done in our friendships. Let your kingdom come in our marriages. Let your kingdom come in our relationships. Let your kingdom come in our friendships. And let your kingdom come in our families. We pray in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.